And Jesus left his disciples and the world joy and peace. And he said, I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So girls, I say to you, let no man take away your joy. And I say the same to the boys, don't let any woman take away your joy. Refuse to be intimidated. How often we say, I can't be happy because of this relationship or its problem, it's broken up, and now I'm so unhappy without this person. Are you saying that your joy and your happiness all rested on that person? Or if you meet a new fella, you suddenly feel great and you want a new hairdo and new clothes and a new perfume. But when that relationship breaks up, where's your joy and where's your peace? It went out the window with the fella. So that's not joy and it's not peace. We have to learn where our joy and our peace come from. They come from God. God's nature is peaceful. It is joyous. Nothing in the world can disturb God. Nothing. Not even this war that's going on. And why? Because God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. Because God sees his universe the way he made it. He sees it perfect, beautiful, intact. And he sees all his creation as all working together, all cooperating together, all loving. And he sees each one as healthy. God doesn't know anything about a sick man, an old man or woman, or a dying man or woman, or a lonely man or woman, or a broken-hearted man or woman. God doesn't see that. He doesn't know it. It's not robbing him of his joy and his peace. So if we're allowing it to rob us of our joy and our peace, then that's our problem. So we don't really need healed of a problem. We need to claim our joy and our peace and say, I refuse to let anything or anyone or any situation rob me of my joy or my peace. It's so bewitching. You know, last week in England, we get much more news about the war than you do, I noticed, on your television. And our television in Britain, it's nearly 24 hours a day. It's the war, the war, the war. And they're bringing people in all the time to analyze the situation. I was reading something recently about the paralysis of analysis. And I liked that. I thought how we're always analyzing our problem or somebody else's problem or analyzing another person to see why they're like that or analyzing ourselves. That's the paralysis of analysis, because when we're doing that, we're not acknowledging God. We need to magnify God and not the problem. We're always magnifying the problem. Have you ever noticed that? We make a big deal of it. We ring our friends up. We talk to them about it. Or we ask them to come round. We talk about it all evening. We wasted an evening when we should have been praising God and talking to God and finding out what he's like. Magnify God and not the problem, whether that's your problem or somebody else's problem. And just like these old medicine men used to do, they didn't concentrate on healing the body. They concentrated on lifting the spirits or the spirit of the people, and that brought healing to the body. I read a story once, a true story, about a millionaire in New York. I think his name was Mr. Cousins. And he had an incurable disease. And all his millions couldn't save him. And he'd been to every doctor and specialist on this subject, and they'd all given up. And he was left with a very short time to live. And he read in an old book that laughter is great medicine and can heal your body. And he decided to book himself into a suite of rooms in a hotel. He hired a video, and all the funny old movies and videos that he could think of. And he laughed and laughed and laughed for 3 weeks, and he was healed. But he said in this that the most important part of the healing was that he now became a joyous person. Where when he was making all his millions, he was so anxious about his business and his money and bad-tempered and fighting with people. You see, that's what he needed healed of. He didn't need healed of a disease. He needed healed of an attitude of mind. How many people have you ever met that are really happy? If you sit and think about it, I don't think you could count them on one hand, or maybe one finger. How many people do you think, that person is always so joyous and so happy, I just love to be around them. They do me good. There are not many people. So perhaps if we could work at being more joyous people, more happy people, people would begin to ask us why. They would come to us not to find out about our religion, but to find out, how do you stay stable? How do you stay joyous in the midst of everything that's going on around us? And I have found that a sense of humor helps in healing. I think last time I talked to you, I told you a funny story, didn't I? Well, I'm going to tell you it again. Well, it's about a patient I had in the early days of my practice. And she was a difficult patient. Do you know what that is? She seemed to have no sense of joy. And no matter what I asked her to read or asked her to do, she always came back with these negative answers. She seemed to reverse every truth that you declared to her and everything you said. And she had this awful sense of heaviness. Well, I have been helping her for several weeks. She actually had an obstruction in her bowel. And I knew she suffered a lot of pain, and I wasn't being uncompassionate towards her. But she seemed to be heavy going, and I felt sometimes she seemed to pull me down. Well, one night I was going to bed late. I'd had a busy day in the practice, and the phone went. And I thought, I know who that is. And I decided not to answer, but it kept on ringing. So I went and picked up the phone, and it was her. And I asked her how she was, and she told me. And we went on, I listened to all this stuff, and suddenly she said, I've just been having a lovely bath. She said, I've been in the bath for a whole hour. I've been having a lovely soak. Oh, it was so nice and so comforting. And while I was in the bath, she said, I began to think, I wonder what God's doing right now. And I said to her, you can rest assured he wasn't soaking his bum in the bath. And all of a sudden, I had a picture of a great big bath up in the sky. And a big giant God sitting in it, pulling out his hair and saying, God, what a day I have with this one. started to laugh. I couldn't get stop laughing. And she said, what are you laughing at? And I said, well, I'm picturing this God. And she started to laugh. And she said, right enough, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You think that God should be sitting up there worrying about us or tearing his hair out and in this big bath? And we both laughed for ages, and I couldn't get to sleep for about an hour. I laughed so much. The next morning, she was the first call on the phone, and she said, do you know, I laughed for about an hour. And at the end of that, the whole thing broke and passed effortlessly and easily. But the interesting thing was that she became a much more joyful person. And she began to look up the words joy in our hymn book and in the writings of Mrs. Eddy and in the Bible. And she said she really saw that the obstruction in her thought was that she found it so difficult to express joy. You see, joy does bring healing. And we all need that. Now, I would like to give you an opportunity to either tell me some of your experiences about joy or ask me questions. Last week, I talked to the nurses in Charlton Manor about this. And there was a practitioner there, and she told us that she a few years ago she went through an illness, and it made her want to cry all the time. She just couldn't stop crying. She cried and cried and cried, and she rang a practitioner, and he said to her, go and sing, get the hymnal and sing all the hymns. And she said she was furious because she thought, that's the last thing I could do, I'm so miserable. So she decided she'd sit at the piano and she would play the hymns. But as she played, she thought, the practitioner said, sing the hymns. So I'll try and sing. And she began to sing through her tears. And then she tried a bit harder. And then she said, have you ever tried to cry and sing at the same time? You just can't do it. And she said, the singing won. And that was the end of her tearful experience. You can't cry and sing at the same time. And there's no happy medium. There's no in between. You're either singing with your whole heart, and you're putting joy into everything you do, even if it's washing the dishes or emptying a bedpan or whatever. Do it with joy. Put joy into it. You might say, how do you suddenly express joy? You just express it. You just say, I'll put joy into this if I'm baking a cake, if I'm scrubbing a floor, if I'm cutting the grass. No matter what I'm doing, or if it's in your church work, do it with joy. Put this joy into it. And you'll see it's like turning on a tap, the joy starts to flow. If you sit there and wait for the joy to come, you might wait a long, long time. Start expressing the joy, and then it comes, it just flows, and you can't help but feel it. And other people will feel it too. Don't be afraid to laugh or dance, even if you're on your own. Sometimes I put on a music and I've got a teddy bear. Don't tell anybody. And I get my teddy bear and we have a little jig around the room. And it does me good. If I feel maybe I've been studying too much and I'm feeling a bit heavy with all the metaphysics and thinking about the things I have to do, I like to do something daft. And laugh at myself. Do you ever feel that God must have a wonderful sense of humor? I think he does. You know, I feel he's laughing at me all the time. He said, look at that thick Irish woman. You have to tell her about 20 times before she gets the message. Now it's your turn.
I have a friend who whose life basically hit a wall, not only did her impending marriage self-destruct, but the business went under, and she was indicted and put in prison. And pretty much as you were saying, it is very hard to stay in crime at the same time, but she found that as she finally got out of the business of trying to be joyful, of seeing her, of just really practicing Christian science, even in the place. And this prison was a doozy. It was a life security prison, which she thought was going to be kind of like a day camp. They turned it into a national security prison. And as the weeks went by, I've had the opportunity in touch with her on a weekly basis. The growth and the joy that she has just from identifying herself as a child of God, not only herself, but everyone else around her, has been outstanding. In fact, it's been so outstanding that one time they searched her for drugs because she was so happy. But if you're really authentic, to turn around this person's life, not to get it all down on it, and even overcome it. She'll be released within a month, going to a halfway house, and see where she can go on with her life.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Well, that's it proved. Thank you very much.
In other words, experience that I had was when I was working at as a nurse in the Lynn House, which was a facility in Alexandria, Virginia. And there was one lady, a guest, who tended to be somewhat complaining and tended to kind of look on the nurses as being servants, you know. And this one particular day, I just came on duty and I was bringing the fresh water pitcher in her room, and apparently the nurse ahead of me had left the lady on the commode for like about 35 minutes, and I almost forgot about her and take it back to the charter. So, and as soon as I came in, I said, "Good afternoon, this is so-and-so," and she just, "Do you know how much I'm paid to stay here?" And without even thinking, I'm just showing off the book. What came up was, "Do you know how little I'm getting paid to put up with this?" This is not your final name, the trade name. But this lady, I mean, doing to the program, I'm doing for some magazine, make report, and that just, she just started cracking up. She was absolutely mad. And I'm sure she realized the services that she were being provided were, you know, were wonderful and worth whatever she was paying for. Just as I knew there was a lot more remuneration to, it's a wonderful remuneration to the nurse than the financial. But it seemed to break the mesmerism. And we just both talked, and after that, she was a lot less complaining, and she seemed to appreciate things more, and we just had a wonderful performance.
I like that. Thank you very much.
Do you think Jesus laughed and had a sense of humor? I ask that because it's not something that I thought a lot about from time to time with the idea of personally. And as a matter of fact, evidently that very question was one that for hundreds of years medieval theologians and scholastics bitterly debated. And today, it's not a question which is central to any teaching or contemplation of Christian science, but your talk naturally makes me think of it. And I just wonder if you have any questions.
Yes, I think Jesus was a man of joy, that he had a quiet inner peace. Peter Heniger Heaton, I don't know if you know his poems, but the last poem in his book was about Jesus, and it was called The Man of Joy. And I think that Jesus had this lovely, quiet, inner joy, because he rejoiced in the truth that this was all a dream anyway, and that because of his close relationship to God, and he knew his own sonship, that he could rejoice in that. You know, he didn't need a funny occasion. He just rejoiced, absolutely rejoiced, in a higher sense of joy that God made man perfect. If he didn't do that, he couldn't have healed the tragic cases that he had to look at, people with leprosy and all sorts of all diseases. You know, Mrs. Eddy said, Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. And to behold a perfect man, where we see such awful people, you'd need a sense of joy, wouldn't you? Because sometimes it seems so difficult to love other individuals. But if we get into this joy of rejoicing, to know that no matter what you see about the people you work with or come in contact with or a patient, it's a lie. It's a dream. And the person only needs wakened out of the dream, and so do you. So lift up your heart with joy and say, I'm not going to be taken in by that. I'm going to rejoice that that's not the truth. That there's only this perfect man there, and I'm just going to be rejoicing in that. Then we become more Christ-like. And I think Mrs. Eddy's hymn that says, O gentle presence, peace and joy and power. To me, say, peace and joy are power. That if I can stop my worrying about the person or the situation and claim peace and then claim joy, they become the power. Claim peace and joy, not only for me, but for the other person or people or whatever concerned. You know, claim their joy. We can do this for the people of all the countries involved in this war today. You could sit and watch the television, become so hypnotized by that picture that you would be grief-stricken and absolutely helpless. But if you could come away rejoicing that it's only a dream, and if you can say, as a lecturer said once, you were there, Father, what did you see? He never saw anybody being blown to pieces or burned alive or hurt or injured or his children warring with each other. If we can rejoice in that truth, we certainly don't rejoice in the war or the picture that it presents, but if we can rejoice in that truth, then we are going to help to heal this world of its need for wars at all. The world has to come to see that, and we have to have patience with the world, not expect it to take a sudden leap and say it can overcome it all at once. But this war, although we don't like it, and it seemed very necessary, because the man was given every opportunity and he didn't accept it. And so it seemed necessary, but I don't think there's ever been a war in the whole of history that has been a kinder war. There's such love and kindness being shown to everyone. And I think we can also rejoice that the world is at prayer together, like it's never ever been. Even the Muslims, the Jews, the Christians of every denomination and every walk of life are praying together, and that prayer has more power than all the bullets and the missiles and the chemical weapons that ever there were. Let's rejoice in that and not be captive audiences to these mesmeric lies that are simply trying to make us believe there is a power named evil. There's only good, and only good will come out of this. Only good for all people, for all those who are grieving, for their country and their loved ones. There'll be so much good come out of it all that only the good will remain. So let us rejoice in that. That's right. That's nice to know.
Okay, I know some of you need to get to work and some of you may want to stay and ask a question or two. So I just want to say that Reverend Smith is in the country's election. She'll be at the Trenton Church tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and we'll have buses going. And so let us thank her.